Praise the Lord. Come on, you just don't know, like I know, all the Lord has done for me. You can't tell it like I have to tell it. I tell you what, every single one of us has stories. We could go on and on all day. Amen. We could have testimony all day and all night about all the blessings and the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Don't neglect to give Him praise and thanks for all that He has done. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Great to be in the house of the Lord today. We're excited about what God is going to do, and we just want to make room for Him to work and move in our lives today. Amen. I'm here to introduce our speaker for our class today, and Brother Stephen Duff is no stranger to this church. Of course, was a member of this church not too long ago, and I went to a far country, that land of Illinois, but they have moved back to the area, and Brother Stephen Duff has been part of our ministry team here before in the past, and a blessing. He has a burden for souls and involved already here since they've returned home, teaching Bible studies and working to disciple. And we had him come teach in a seminar on Bible studies last year, the year before. Time flies, but we had a great time, and that was a blessing to our church. So I'm looking forward to what he is going to minister to us here today. And we just want to let God work and move and work in our hearts. I tell you what, something good is going to happen here. I don't know all that God has in store, but by the time we leave this place today, I believe somebody's life, somebody's family, there's going to be some physical situation, some healing. There's something good that God is about to do here today. And so we want to welcome Brother Stephen Duff as he comes. Why don't we just thank the Lord for His Spirit, the moving of His power. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be home. I'm not sure if it feels like home just yet. I'm still a little nervous. But I believe God gave me something a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night. Brother Wiggins was teaching, and he referred to a verse in this passage. And as I flipped over there and began to look, God began to deal with me. And so I'm going to talk from Psalm 91, and if you'll remain standing in honor of the Word of God, we're going to read the whole psalm. And then we're going to take some time and just work through it and see what God will share with us. Thank you, Pastor, for your kind words and for the opportunity to stand in this pulpit to minister the Word. Psalm 91 and verse 1 says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt thou trust. His truth shall be a shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the shadow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, I could stop there and just be done. There's so much good meat right there. But I want us to take just a moment. Let's pray that the Lord would bless his word this morning, that he would anoint these lips of clay, and that we would take something from this word this morning. God, we're so thankful for your many blessings. We thank you for your word. Lord, we pray right now that you would anoint these lips of clay. Lord, let me speak the words only that you would have for your people this morning. And let us take something, Lord God, from the promises that are contained in your word. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and glory. Amen. You may be seated. When we look at this psalm, there are some great, great promises contained right here. There's so many exciting things that it's not really recorded specifically who wrote this psalm, as many psalms are written. There's usually, it says a psalm by David or a psalm by this person or that person. But in study, I found out that this was kind of a conversation between David and Solomon. And it seems like the tense changes, and it seems like there's a different speaker as you go work your way through. And it seems like maybe sometimes that God was even responding as part of the conversation. It was almost like a conversation. God was telling his son, who was about to become king, hey, I want you to remember some of these things, because when you become king and you become the leader, then I want God to lead you as he's led me to lead our people. And so, Brother Wiggins, you inspire me every time that you get to minister the word. I always enjoy when he begins to expound the word of God. And as he began to speak the other day, God really started talking to me. And I'm like, I'm writing as fast as I can. I'm trying to listen to him. And I'm trying to write down what God gave me. And so I believe this morning that if we will just take a hold of a few things from within this psalm, that our lives will be greater and blessed. So beginning in verse 1, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, I want to point something out here. There's a lot of, for those of you who, like Sister Audra and maybe some others that may be teachers, there's some good English here. It says, shall abide. Now, shall is a present tense word. So I'm going to point that out right at the beginning. This was written a long time ago, before I was born, before any of you were born, before Jesus Christ even walked on the face of the earth. But yet, the truth that is there is that God will still be there with us if we will abide in him. That present tense, if we will abide in him, then not only will God be our strength, be our comfort, be our everything that we need, we can truly understand that God's Spirit is trying to protect us. That when we enter into that secret place, you know, in the scripture, back in this time, it was really more, the secret place was referring to the Holy of Holies, where the high priest would come one time a year. Such an exciting place. And sorry, my mouth is dry. And it was the place that God's Spirit dwelt. It was the place that he would long to be. It was just a shadow of where he wanted to be. Because God wanted to have a relationship with each of us. And as we walk through this psalm, I think you're going to see that God was trying and reaching for a relationship, because all of the things that he talks about are about relationship with his people. If we're having relationship with him, a lot of these things will start to make more sense in our life. When we're going through the fire, when it seems like everything is going against us, and it seems like we're having struggles in our life, if we have relationship, in that moment, the presence of God will walk into the room, wherever you're at, to the situation, wherever you might be, and he's going to say, just peace be still. Because I'm here. I want you just to dwell right here. I want you to abide right here in my presence. Because I want you to understand that it's not about all the stuff that you see. Because many times we look at the scripture and we see all the battles and we see all the circumstance. And when we're going through things, we see the circumstance and it seems so big. But I want to tell you, we have a wrong idea about trials and circumstances that come in our life. We have a wrong perspective. Our world has tried to put it on us that people say, oh, I'm having a bad day because this happened or that happened. No. A bad thing happened in my day, but I'm not having a bad day because I still know who he is. I still feel his presence. I'm not having a bad day. We have to watch what we speak into existence. Because when you start speaking words, you put things in motion that were never there before. You ought to be saying to your circumstance, have you seen how big my God is? Instead of saying, God, do you see how big my circumstance is? You see how that works? You're making that thing bigger than it really is. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. Where is that secret place? For us today, it's that place of prayer. When we can come in and develop that relationship and commune with, as Pastor said, it's a two-way street. We got to sit down and listen sometimes. I like to do a lot of talking. Any of you who know me, that's not news. That is not a news flash. If you don't know me, you just learned something. And the trouble for me sometimes is I get so busy talking to God that I don't hear what he's trying to tell me. I miss that still small voice, Pastor. But you see, verse 2 continues on. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is. There's another one of those words. He is. Present tense. Right now in your circumstance, he is. When this circumstance was happening with David, he was right then, but it was a he is moment. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Can you put that title slide back up, Sister Beth? If you can. Or just put the picture up. Now, that is a very famous castle. And if you know me, you know which one it is. That's Edinburgh Castle. Now, Edinburgh Castle stands up on a rock, and I really tried to find a better picture to depict this, but I couldn't find one on the internet, so. And I couldn't find the ones that I've taken. But up high on a mountain, this castle has stood through the years. It has hundreds and hundreds of years. Give you a little perspective. The high school that I went to, the actual building, when my sister went to high school, who's 12 years younger than me, the building was 400 years old, okay? So this building is older than that, and it has only been defeated one time, and there's a lesson here. The reason that Edinburgh Castle was defeated when the war came was because somebody on the inside was a traitor and let the people on the outside in. The walls are there to protect. This is what, when I think of a fortress, my mind always goes to Edinburgh Castle or Stirling Castle. Edinburgh is a better example because of this one time. And we need to understand when we're come talking about the God that we serve, that him being a refuge and a fortress, that this is what I'm thinking of. This is what we need to have as a picture in our mind. God, you're greater than my circumstance. You're greater than the things that my world is enduring. This is a place of safety. I can run in, we can shut the door, and you're going to be there to protect me. That's the kind of God that I serve. I want to encourage somebody this morning. Whatever's going on in your world, my God is greater. That refuge, that place of safety is greater. But we're blessed because we get to dwell there. We get to live there. We got to make it our home. We don't have to be as the world is and deal with all the worries and the fears and the doubts about the uncertainty of the future. Because I read the back of the book, and we win. In the back of the book, we win. There's no question about it. I already know what's coming. I don't have to fear what's coming in my life at this moment. And so, as we go through, I want you to keep in mind that He is my refuge and my fortress. And then verse 3 continues on, "Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." When we live in the previous verses and make it our dwelling place, make the fortress of God, make the secret place of God our fortress, then when the fowler and the noisome pestilence come and all these traps are out there to get us, we can understand that He's going to deliver us from them. He's going to take us from that and into a place of safety where we can be at peace. You know, sometimes we do this thing as children in school. Sometimes they do the faith fall. Anybody ever done a faith fall? Somebody stands. I think we did that in class when I was here. I'm pretty sure that we did. These young people that are doing such a great job leading us in worship are my kids, my other kids, because they were in my class when we were here before. And it makes my heart happy and rejoice to see my kids involved in ministry, continuing the cycle like it should be. But when you do a faith fall, the one person's over here. I would do it with Andrew, but, you know, I don't know if I'm strong enough to catch him. But one person stands behind, and the other person stands with their back to him, and they just fall back. We need to be more like that with God. You know, when my kids do it, Cameron has no fear. He's just like, because he knows I'm going to catch him. If he's jumping down the stairs, it doesn't matter how many stairs he's up, whether he's judged it right or not, he just knows that I'm going to catch him. The kid has no fear. He's a wild child. But we need to understand that we serve a God who's a present tense God. He's not in the past. Verse 4 continues on. It says, "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." He's a present tense God because He's saying, the image in my head is, he's not in here, but he has a bunch of chickens, and Cameron loves them. He loves to volunteer for chicken chores. Now, none of Eric's kids are in here. They all want to avoid him like the plague, but Cameron loves him. He was mad one time when we were in because he couldn't sleep in the chicken coop. True story. He would leave a pair of boots here so that he could go out and work with the chickens and get in amongst them and get in all the nasty. I don't even want to be near them. The only interaction I want with chicken is when it's on my plate ready to eat. But then the picture here is the picture of God as, and I didn't call God a chicken, but it's like a mother hen is with her children. When that danger comes, she gathers them in and tucks them under her wings and keeps them close to protect them. And she'll put her life on the line. And that's kind of how God has been for us. He put his life on the line so that we could have a way out, so that we didn't have to worry and fear about all the danger that would come against us, because he's my God. He loves me, and he's not like a chicken. He's not losing his life. He's going to say, I'm going to take care of you in the midst of the circumstance, in the midst of your struggle, in your darkest days, I'm going to be there. I know I'm supposed to be teaching, but I get excited when I think about that, because I have a hope. I have a hope. I don't have to worry. In verse 5, it says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Night is a time of terror for many people. They close their eyes. For many different reasons, they close their eyes and they're consumed by fear. Some people can't sleep at night because of the fear of what might happen while they sleep. People who have had terrible things happen in their life, it's like a constant battle with PTSD. They just can't sleep because every time their eyes close, they relive whatever it was, and they can't get free. I'm here to tell somebody this morning, God wants to set you free. God wants to set you free from the terrors by night, from those things that are in your life, that the way on you and get in yours. I don't ever want to have to be in a place where I have to take a pill to go to sleep. I want to be able to lay my head on the pillow with a clean conscience and knowing that my confidence is in him, because he's an all right now God. And I'm not minimizing. If you struggle with those things, I'm not minimizing that. But I'm going to tell you this. My God is greater. He's greater than your circumstance. He's greater than your fear. Too many of us as Pentecostals live with fear in our life and let it paralyze us to the point that we can't do anything. Can I be transparent? Don't pick on my wife. Heidi has struggled since the accident. Most of you know, 6 years ago in June, the kids and my in-laws and Heidi were in the car and they had an accident. And only in the last 6 months to a year has Heidi started driving again. For lots of reasons. But she had a lot of fear about getting behind the wheel again. Even though she was not the one driving, she was afraid. And we can be that way. We get afraid because of something in our life. And it consumes us to the point that we can't think straight, that we can't function properly, that our bodies start turning on ourselves. Because we're living with the effects of what's going on in our mind. I'm here to tell you this morning that I serve a God who's greater. That we don't need to be afraid of the terrors by night or the circumstances that come in our world by day. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen. All these school shootings are terrible and all those things that are happening in our world. But God predicted that were going to happen. And they're not meant to be allowed in this world just to scare people. I think God allows them to some degree so that people will turn to him, because he's the only hope. And we as the church of the living God can be a testimony of how great God can be in those circumstances, in those terrible places that come in our world. We can be a light set on a hill like this that can be a place of safety, that we can say, come with me. I want God to protect you too. Come on, just like that, the mother hen, we're helping to do that same thing. We're bringing them close to the presence of God so that God can get close to them so they can begin to feel peace for the very first time. I remember that day, the day God filled me with the Holy Ghost at 16 years old, the first time in my life that I felt peace. That's the God that I serve. He said, not only will you not be afraid of all that stuff, but he said, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noon. The New Living Translation of verse 6 says this, do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. And I would say it more like this. In Stephen's version of this verse, I would say it like this. No matter what comes your way, no matter when it comes, don't be afraid, because God is our fortress and our refuge. He is a place of safety that you can run into. Verse 7. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. I was reading, and I found this quote that I really liked about. It says, 1,000 enemies may fall upon thee on one side, and 10,000 may fall upon thee on the right hand, but they shall not come near thee to take thee away thy life. It's a promise of God that he's going to be there no matter how bleak it looks. Because there have been times, I'll just be honest with you, I live in shoe leather too, you know, I walk in shoe leather just the same as you. I put my clothes on in the morning just like you do. And sometimes fear gets in our life, but I want you to understand that our God wants you to understand that he's walking with you through every step of every day. There's not been a circumstance that's come in your life or in anybody else's life that surprised God. I don't think you heard me. Nothing has come in your life that God hasn't allowed. God's allowing things in your life for a reason. Sometimes that reason is that you're going to have a testimony. That testimony is going to be, hey, God can deliver you. God can set you free. I've been in your shoes, and God did it for me. Because sometimes you can't get them to come to church, but you can hear the testimony that's lived out in your life and in your words. When they begin to tell you, I can't go to sleep at night because I'm afraid of this or I'm afraid of that, you can say, hey, let me tell you about my Jesus, who can walk into your life, and he can walk into your storm, and he can say, peace be still. And the wind and the waves obey. And the circumstances of your life have to obey the voice of the Almighty, because he's not at their beck and call. They're at his beck and call. And your circumstance is not greater than our Creator. It is a circumstance that has to bow before him. That's why when Jesus was in the boat, he could go to sleep in the midst of the storm. He could go fast asleep, and the disciples, who should have known better, had to come and say, Jesus, wake up, because we're going to die. You see how bad this storm is? Now, I have to think. This is how my mind works. You got these hardy fishermen who've fished all of their lives. They probably learned as young boys from their father. It's something that they've passed down from generation. And here they come to tell Jesus, hey, there's a big storm. We're about to get wiped out here. Don't you care? Sorry, that's how I think. We have to understand that Jesus came and lived on this life so he could be a testimony that he was tempted in all points like as we are. That he'd gone through all the stuff and he came out on the other side victorious. That we could go out and walk through our world and say, God, you're walking with me. I want to stay in that secret place of the Most High. I want to stay in your presence every day. As I walk through my world, I want to understand, God, that I want my world to understand that when they look at me and they think I got it all together, it's not that I have it all together. It's that I trust you. That I'm walking in the secret place. I'm walking in your presence. I'm walking with you holding my hand, walking through every step of every day. Because just because we're Christians doesn't mean we're exempt from troubles and from struggles and things that come in our world. But we need to stop fearing the stuff and start trusting the Master, saying, God, my hand is in yours, and I'm holding on with everything that I've got. God, I need you. But as we continue to read through this passage, look at verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, here's the key right here. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. God's making a promise. It's a contingent promise that we need to pull out from this verse. Because we made the Lord our God, our dwelling, then he's going to protect us. God is obligated to take care of us as his kids. He wants to. Not only is he obligated, he wants to. He wants you to understand that when you go through life, you don't have to live in fear. Because I'm going to be there. He's going to be there right with you. And as we continue through this passage, this next verse ought to make you excited. It ought to make you stand up and shout. For it says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. He's allowing the psalmist here to see that he sends his angels to take care of us. When we're going through stuff, he sends the angels. It reminds me of Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12 that says this. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. You think God's not listening to you? Did you hear what he just said? He said he came for your words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. So what he's saying is, hey, when you're in the struggle, God's looking out for you. He's dispatching angels. Some days I think when I'm driving my bus that my angels are getting a real good workout. Because there's some crazy people on the road. Not me. Randy Johnson, you can't say a word about my driving. But I want you to understand, as we go through this process, God wants to bear us up and take us. And he gives promises. Promises that say, I'm going to be what you need. And I'm not going to get done, but that's okay. Because let's jump down to verse 15. I'm going to try and get done. Verse 15 says, he shall call upon me, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. That's talking about us crying out to God. And when we cry out, God's saying, I will. It's a certainty. It's not a question. It's not an if, an and, or a but. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to be with you. And as we walk out of the doors of the church this afternoon after our 1 o'clock service, I want you to take this with you and understand that God wants to be with you in your trouble. And he's going to deliver you. And God's going to honor your trust in him. So as you stand with me and as we go to the Lord in prayer, I want you to remember that he's your fortress. He's your strong tower to run into and be safe. That you can get a relationship with him to the point that when cancer comes, he's greater. I serve a God that's greater than all your circumstances this morning. And I want to encourage you as we close in prayer to just put your circumstance in his hands this morning. Let's do that together. God, we're so thankful for your presence that's so rich and so strong in this place. God, I pray that you would be with your people this morning. Lord, that your spirit would sweep into this room right now, that they would understand that they can run into the secret place of the Most High, that they can come into your presence and that they can dwell there, that they can walk through their world, through every circumstance that comes, that they can have a confidence and understand and know that you're greater than all of those things and that you can speak peace into their life right at this moment. God, I pray peace in this room. I pray peace in every heart, in every life, in every circumstance that's in this place. God, I pray that you would sweep in right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, let's just entertain his presence for just a moment. I know we're supposed to be dismissing, but let's just let God minister for just a moment. God, we worship you. We exalt and magnify your name, Jesus. Oh, we bless your name, Jesus. Oh, we're thankful for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that we can come into the secret place. We can dwell in your house, Lord God, in your presence, and that you have our best interest at heart. Oh, we give you praise and glory and honor for all these things in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Love him completely and dwell in him. When we do that, he's our protector in all circumstances. God will deliver you. And salvation, verse 16, says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I'm thankful that he showed me his salvation. You're dismissed at this time until our 1 o'clock service. Let's come back right in expecting God to do a miracle in our midst this afternoon. I'm ready. I'm excited to see what God's going to do in the house. Lord bless you.